domain-informed CNN architectures for downscaling regional wind forecasts. Welcome to Journal Club. I'm Malcolm Dix. Picture a wind farm operator standing in a control room overlooking a coastline. Out the window, turbines stretch across the sea in long, arcing rows. Each blade sweep is hundreds of feet wide, perfectly optimized to extract energy from a narrow band of air that happens to be moving just fast enough in just the right place. If the wind changes, even slightly, across that line, energy output drops. This isn't a theoretical risk. Regional wind conditions change fast, and they don't move cleanly. Gusts hit different parts of the array at different times. Local terrain, atmospheric instability, and coastal gradients all play a role. If you're managing this system, macro-level climate models aren't actually that useful. You care about something much more granular. What's happening in the next 15 minutes, 100 meters above sea level, in 1 square kilometer of a specific stretch of water? And for that, you need something that macro-level models don't provide. Accurate, high-resolution, regional wind forecasts that can be generated on demand. But why isn't that kind of resolution available? To understand that, we need to back up a bit. We need to talk about NWP. In weather forecasting, the foundation of the field is something called numerical weather prediction, or NWP. NWP simulates the evolution of the atmosphere over time using the laws of physics, that is, fluid dynamics, thermodynamics, and radiation models. It takes in the current state of the atmosphere from observations, then integrates the equations forward to produce future states. NWP is the global standard for everything from hurricane prediction to daily weather apps, and it's only possible by way of massive supercomputers that crunch through billions of variables across global grids all day long. But there's a trade-off inherent in these systems. The finer the spatial resolution, the more compute it takes to run. Because of this, global NWP models are typically limited to grid resolutions around 10 to 30 kilometers. That's pretty coarse. You can't resolve wind patterns around mountain ridges or the land-sea gradients that matter in coastal areas, and you definitely can't resolve wind flows at the scale of individual wind turbines. If you need to predict the unique weather that is only occurring around a specific set of turbines, you need another option. So what do people do? They downscale. The most common approach is called dynamical downscaling. I realize dynamical doesn't really sound like a real word, but I swear it is. Anyway, for dynamical downscaling, you start with a coarse NWP model and nest a finer resolution model inside of it. For example, you might run a global simulation at 27 kilometers, then nest a regional model at 9 kilometers, and then another at 1.8 kilometers. The nested model uses the coarse simulation to set its boundary conditions, but internally it solves the full set of atmospheric equations on a much finer grid. This is what lets you simulate detailed flow over a wind farm or resolve microscale variations in wind speed that affect turbine output. To be clear, this method works, but it's expensive. A single year of downscaled simulation over one region can cost tens of thousands of core hours. So what's the solution? This is when machine learning enters the chat. Once it's trained, a neural network can, at least in theory, infer a high-resolution output in milliseconds. If you can train a model to learn the downscaling operation directly, you can bypass the solver and generate fine-scale wind forecasts orders of magnitude faster. This idea, a form of super-resolution, is already popular for images, videos, and even medical scans. The issue is, weather data isn't natural imagery. It's structured, multi-channel, and physics-constrained. And that makes the problem harder. So while weather data super-resolution sounds great in theory, it's run into some issues in practice. For this use case, standard convolutional models tend to produce blurry outputs. They oversmooth fine features and fail to preserve high-frequency details like turbulence and sharp gradients. Worse, these models generalize poorly. If you train them over one region, They often fail when deployed somewhere new, and even when they do work, their outputs can lack physical realism, missing features that we know should be there from fluid dynamics. Today's paper is a response to that challenge. The authors propose a new kind of convolutional architecture specifically for wind forecast downscaling. One that doesn't ignore the physics entirely, but doesn't try to solve the full partial differential equations either. Instead, it incorporates static domain knowledge, like land-sea boundaries and topography, directly into the network structure. The result is a model that's faster than full simulation, more accurate than a generic neural net, and more robust across regions. Let's dive in to see how it works. The authors use a modified UNet architecture as their control. This is a standard encoder-decoder convolutional neural network with skip connections. In this case, each residual block is built with three convolutional layers, each followed by leaky rectified linear unit activation and includes channel-wise dropout. The encoder path performs progressive downsampling with max pooling, the decoder path restores resolution using bilinear upsampling, skip connections are used to concatenate encoder outputs with their corresponding decoder inputs, which helps preserve spatial information during reconstruction. This setup is commonly used in super resolution and segmentation problems, and it provides a reasonable performance baseline. But again, all that is just the control. The key contribution of this paper is a modified architecture the authors refer to as a WNet. The core idea is to inject static, domain-relevant fields, specifically topography and land-sea mask, into the model pipeline in a structured and interpretable way. These priors are known in advance and available at high resolution. Instead of being treated as just additional input channels, they are introduced after an initial upsampling step and combined using a specialized fusion mechanism. The WNet comprises two sequential UNets. The first UNet takes in the low-resolution wind field and outputs an intermediate representation that matches the target spatial resolution, but with an expanded set of channels. This output is not yet the final wind field prediction. Instead, it is passed to a fusion layer where it is combined with the static priors. The fusion layer includes two key components. First, the static priors are passed through a residual block to match the number of channels in the intermediate output. These are then concatenated and passed through a channel attention module, or CAM. This is a soft attention mechanism that computes a set of channel-wise weights using both max pooling and average pooling paths, followed by shared MLP and softmax normalization. The attention weights determine how much each channel from the concatenated tensor should contribute to the final fused representation. Importantly, using softmax rather than sigmoid allows the weights to be interpreted as relative importances across channels, making the contribution of priors directly measurable. After the attention step, a second residual block reduces the number of channels back to match the input requirements of the second UNet. This final UNet decodes the fused representation into the high-resolution output, the predicted wind field. The full model is trained end-to-end. From an architectural standpoint, this design introduces two major differences relative to a vanilla UNet. First, the static priors are incorporated at a deeper stage in the network rather than at the input level, which avoids early overfitting and allows the model to learn more meaningful internal representations before incorporating external guidance. Second, the CAM enables dynamic weighting of prior information based on context, which improves generalization, especially when inferring over unseen regions. Overall, the WNet maintains the advantages of encoder-decoder architectures, that is, multi-scale feature extraction, skip connections, and convolutional efficiency, while improving interpretability and adaptability by explicitly modeling domain knowledge as part of the feature fusion process. This change turns the model from a black box into something closer to a guided transformation pipeline. The question is, does it work? The answer is yes. The authors put it through the ringer. Across every downscaling factor and every metric, MSE, MAE, SSIM, PSNR, the WNet outperforms both the baseline UNet and bilinear interpolation, and the gap only gets wider as the resolution gap increases. But the real story isn't in the numbers, it's in generalization. On unseen terrain, the standard U-net starts to hallucinate features from its training domain. The W-net doesn't. It adapts. That's the payoff for injecting static priors like topography and Lancy mask directly into the model instead of hoping the network figures it out from scratch. When you look at the results, both visually and spectrally, it's clear the model isn't just sharpening blurry inputs, it's reconstructing terrain-aware flow structure that actually reflects what's on the ground. The WNet definitely adds architectural overhead, but that doesn't mean it's not operationally viable. On one hand, it is heavier than a standard U-net, but on the other hand, it avoids the sampling and training instability of GAN-based alternatives. It is explainable, spatially aware, and modular enough to plug into existing NWP toolchains. For organizations with the infrastructure to support training and the ancillary data needed for inference, it may offer a practical and robust alternative to traditional downscaling approaches. If you want to see how the architecture is structured in detail, or you're interested in the specific performance numbers from the benchmarking across downscaling factors and loss functions, you'll find all of that in the full paper. The appendix includes diagrams of the WNet, the fusion layer, and the attention mechanism, along with side-by-side prediction outputs and kinetic energy spectra comparisons. Thank you for joining me on today's episode of Journal Club. Hope you enjoyed it. Malcolm Diggs signing off. See you tomorrow.